Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did test Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. A test reveals what is in us. It may be a test of strength, or a test of knowledge, or a test of endurance. In Abraham's case, it will be a test of faith. When this is over, everyone, including Abraham himself, will know if his faith is real or just talk. Verse 2. And he said, this is God speaking, Take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. Again, God knows that what he asks Abraham to do is beyond difficult. This isn't the first time that he has asked Abraham to do that, something similar to that. But this, I think, has to be the hardest. It is his son, his only son. It is the son that he loves. God says it. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Again, Abraham obeys immediately. I think it's best to do the hard things that God commands right away. In fact, I don't just think, I know it is. Because if we don't, we may end up talking ourselves out of obeying. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, and reality hit home. Abraham arrives at the place. He arrives at the place. It's a place. This is no dream. Verse 5, And Abraham said to his young men, Abide you here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham says, We will worship. Worship is more than bowing our heads to the Lord. Worship is bowing our will to the Lord. Worship isn't restricted to singing a few songs on Sunday morning. Worship happens throughout the week when we obey God. And the more difficult it is for us to do, the greater the act of worship is. Abraham and his son are about to bow their wills to the will of God and worship. 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them, together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac knew about burnt offerings. No doubt he and his father did this sort of thing together many times. 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. God provided Isaac, and he is to be the offering. Our children, our parents, our friends and loved ones, along with us, belong to God, and he can take us if he wants to. Verse 9, And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac is probably in his 20s. Abraham is about 120. Isaac could have said, "Dad, you're not putting me on that altar." But he didn't. Isaac trusted his father's walk with God, and Isaac trusted God also. They both knew that God promised a great nation would come through Isaac, so they knew that if God let them go through with this, then God would raise Isaac from the dead. They believed the word of God, even under this type of stress. 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do you anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." God knew that Abraham would obey, but now Abraham knows it. God is number one with Abraham, and Abraham knows it. When God tests our faith and we remain faithful, it is for our benefit. No one can tell us that our faith isn't real when we are willing to sacrifice in order to obey God. It strengthens our faith. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Abraham and Isaac are on Mount Moriah. Fast forward 1800 years. Same mountain. New name. Calvary. Same mountain. Two sons. Two altars. Two sacrifices. One difference. God stopped Abraham while he was swinging his dagger toward his son, Isaac. But God did not stop the Roman soldiers who swung their hammers and drove the nails into God's son. If we can imagine how Abraham must have felt when he was about to sacrifice his son, maybe we can understand what God the Father and God the Son went through for us. 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son." Abraham was willing to give up his most valuable possession. Consequently, God says, "I'm going to do something for you and for the entire world." 17. "That in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." And that is a promise from God that he will give his son and allow him to be the sacrifice that pays for our sins. That is the promise from God. Forgiveness, eternal life, escaping hell are by far the greatest blessings from God, and they belong to those who turn from their sin and invite Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. 17, or I should say 19. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Now, Abraham had not told his servants what he intended to do to Isaac. They had no idea what was going on Mount Moriah. And you know, sometimes it's better to wait until after you do God's will before you tell others. Sometimes obedience to God means going against conventional wisdom, and therefore some well-meaning people may try to talk you out of doing it. Chapter 23. Actually, let's read verse 20. Jumped ahead. And it came to pass, after these things, that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she has also borne children to your brother Nahor, Huz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazel, and Phildash, and Jidlap, and Bethuel. And Bethuel fathered Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother, and his concubine, whose name was Remuel. She bore also Teba, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Mahaka. And you can put a little underline if you want to mark up your Bible under the name of Rebekah in verse 23, because that relative of Abraham will eventually be the wife of his son Isaac. Now let's go into 23. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Abraham will see Sarah again, but right now she's gone and he misses her, so he is mourning. Verse 3, And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, You know, there's a time to mourn and there is a time to move on. And Abraham had to make arrangements for Sarah. Life goes on. And we must go on, even though it can be very difficult at times. It never is the same, and you never get over it, but you learn how to deal with it. Verse 3, And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Sarah needed to be buried. She had been a beautiful woman, even in her old age, but death had quickly changed that. Death had begun to corrupt the once beautiful Sarah. In fact, it's not even Sarah. Sarah is in paradise, and the body needs to be buried. Verse 5, And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Now, and we're going to see that they answered Abraham in a very kind manner. It's good to be extra kind and sensitive to those who are mourning a loss of some sort. 6. Hear us, my Lord. You are a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury your dead. None of us shall withhold from you his sepulchre, but that you may bury your dead. The spokesman said, Abraham, there isn't a man among us who wouldn't donate their family tomb to you for Sarah. They didn't share Abraham's faith, but they respected him because of his character. Every Christian owes it to Jesus to be the type of person that others can respect. And at this point, anyway, that's the way Abraham was. And we'll continue this story in verse 7 of chapter 23 next time.